Greetings. I'm Apostle Bronwyn, and I am part of the Restored Government of God. Today I would like to share a teaching with you, which I have called Preparation and Expectation.
If we look up the meaning for the word preparation, it is defined as the action or process of making something ready for use or service, or of getting ready for some occasion, test, or duty. The word preparation came to me while I was thinking about how the hour of our temptation is also the day of our visitation. I thought that it was interesting how the Spirit made a distinction between the hour of temptation and the day of our visitation. It brought to mind the following two scriptures from Hebrews 11, verse 25 and 26. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he, Moses, had respect unto the recompense of the reward. God gives us discernment that we may weigh all things according to the equity of his perspective. The other evening I was listening to a teaching of Chief Apostle Eric's, and in the teaching he was bringing out how although Christ was spoken of in the law of Moses, the Pharisees could not behold Christ, even as he stood right before them, because they had not prepared their hearts to receive him. The Pharisees, in not preparing their hearts, could not discern the day of their visitation, and were therefore held captive by their own aspiration of what they perceived in the imagination of their own hearts the credentials of the Messiah to be. They waited for the Messiah, and he did not come. Well, not the image of the Messiah that the Pharisees had established for themselves. And there you can see the void and emptiness of that promise, for what they perceived to be true about the Messiah did not come by the revelation of God's grace, and was therefore not consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan. As I had been reflecting upon these things, what came to mind was this question: what is our expectation of salvation? We know that when God issues forth his grace, it is done with an expectation to call forth change. The change that God calls forth is the expression of Christ. When we come into covenant with God, we agree to his terms. We agree to meet his expectation of righteousness. Through our choices of faith, we agree to honor God instead of give expression to the flesh. In order for us to recognize when God is challenging us unto righteousness, requires that we prepare ourselves for the challenge. We need to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ in order to discern the thoughts of the Lord from the many other voices that are in the world. In 1 Corinthians 14 verse 10, it says, "There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them are without signification." The word signification is defined as the meaning that a term or symbol has or is meant to have. This scripture brings to mind the many voices of man's inclination and how they inspire certain thought processes that are consistent with the fruits of iniquity that reside within our souls. It is by preparing our vessel and filling it with faith that we are granted grace, God's wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to be able to discern from these many voices the voice of God, which is always consistent with his Christ. Remember when I said earlier that when God grants grace, it is for the purpose of calling forth change within the inner man. This change can only take place when we by faith choose to mold our expectation of this change with what God has determined for our salvation. Before truth was revealed to us, we had our own image and expectation of what righteousness was. This is the lie that God challenges daily when he issues forth his grace to reveal to us his Christ. The signification, the true meaning and intent of these many voices in the world are the lies of Satan that parade themselves as the truth. In 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, a scripture we all know quite well, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Let us here for a moment ask ourselves, what is the obedience of Christ? The obedience of Christ is to honor God by respecting the boundaries of His covenant. This is what righteousness requires, that we stop to consider the ways of the Lord, that our expression might be the outflow of Christ's virtue, the result of our preparation in the priesthood. It is in the priesthood that we prepare ourselves for overcoming in the hour of temptation. We prepare ourselves for this divine change to take place when we choose to mold our expectation according to the revelation of Christ. I was thinking about the reason one would want to prepare oneself for something. We study for an exam with the expectation of achieving a good grade. We would adorn ourselves with fine clothes with the expectation of looking presentable at a formal gathering. We would prepare ourselves to awake early if we knew we had an early appointment in the morning. What we can clearly see is that all preparation in life is done with an expectation in mind. I was reminded of an example that I heard mentioned in one of the other elders' teachings about a reflection she had while driving, what the Spirit had ministered to her about blind spots. I was thinking about how having the expectation of knowing that there are blind spots when one is driving, that one would prepare for this by adjusting one's rearview mirror correctly to obtain the best view. Reflection is our rearview mirror. We keep our minds focused on Christ that we might be able to discern when Satan is making another attempt to enter in through the window of the imagination, trying to ensnare us through the many voices of the intonation. A few weeks ago, I had been ministering to a young saint who was in a cycle of growth, and being still young in understanding, could not understand why a certain scenario had unfolded. I then ministered to the young saint that this is called a cycle of growth. This is what we are to expect. This is what we mean when we say, when we speak about cycles of growth. As I had been reflecting later, I was reminded of the surprise that the saint had expressed regarding the unfolding events. And it brought back to my remembrance of a time that I had a similar experience. I remember hearing the voice of the Lord say, "Are you really so surprised?" And as I reflected on why the Lord had given me these words, I realized that our cycles of growth are to be expected, and therefore we are to be prepared for them. I just want to read a scripture from the book of Adam and Eve. It's chapter 24, verse 6 and 7, where God says to Adam, "And now behold, I have accepted thy offering, O Adam, but the days of the covenant wherein I have bound thee are not fulfilled. When they are fulfilled, then will I bring thee back into the garden. Now therefore strengthen thy heart, and when sorrow comes upon thee, make me an offering, and I will be favorable unto thee." Here we can see another reason for our preparation. For the testing of our faith is not our only expectation. For we have respect unto the recompense of the reward. We have an expectation that God will reward our faith and bring healing to our souls, because our hope is according to His promise. We were reading from Romans 5 this morning, and I just saw how beautifully it sums up what our expectation is when we choose to labor with what God has provided for our faith. I'm going to be reading from Romans 5, verse 1 to 5. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It was when I was reading the scripture that the Lord showed me how our preparation is the strengthening of our hearts. When God commanded Adam to strengthen his heart, he was instructing Adam to mold his expectation with what God had revealed to him, and that this would comfort his soul and be a source of strength until the fulfillment of his covenant with Adam. God does the same with us. He has covenanted with us that through the process of regeneration, revelation, resistance, and reward, that he would liberate us from the power of sin and birth within our souls the fruits of his kingdom. By faith, we strengthen our hearts and mold our expectation according to the hope of that process. Through experience, this becomes our reality, and so does our expectation grow with this understanding. It is important for us to keep in mind what our expectation is, for this brings distinction also between the easy yoke or the heavy burden. When we remain mindful that our expectation is according to what God has predestined for our salvation, then we preserve ourselves from becoming ensnared by the inclination, by the many inclinations of man. I would just like to share an example with you that the Lord had given to me for my reflection one day. The Spirit had ministered to me something while I was reading from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11. It says, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied, and by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. As I was reading this scripture, the word travail stood out to me, and as I was reflecting on it, the Lord brought distinction between the meaning of the word travail and the meaning of the word grief. And it was through this distinction between these two definitions that I could see the difference between those of the world who suffer in vain and us being in covenant with God that suffer for the purpose of obtaining glory. The word grief or grieve means to feel or experience great sorrow as pertaining to a great loss. The word travail means to labor, a labor or a work involving much effort, suffering caused from mental hardship, or the pain of childbirth. And as I reflected on this, I just want to share what the Spirit brought forth for my understanding. It said, projection bruises the will and grieves the soul under the weight of an expectation unfulfilled, whereas reflection causes the soul to travail under the yoke of truth to bring forth the substance of righteous choices, which is the fruit of the Spirit, the joy of the Lord. So there we can see that there's an expectation with our suffering, and our focus is not on the suffering, but our focus is on the hope of promise. And the reason why we choose faith is to endure that process to bring forth the fruits of the Lord's joy, which is our portion in his kingdom. Also, upon reading the scripture in Isaiah 53, verse 11, where he says that he shall see the travail of his soul, of his righteous servant's soul, and he shall be satisfied. So if we look up the meaning of the word satisfy, it means to fulfill an expectation to give full contentment, to give assurance, to answer sufficiently, to fulfill the requirements of an expectation. This reminded me of Genesis chapter 1, where it speaks about how God created the heavens and the earth, and when he was done, he looked upon his creation and he saw that it was good. God was satisfied with his creation. In the same way that he sees the travail of the soul, of our souls, and is satisfied because it is through the labor of our faith that this expectation that God's expectation of our salvation is met perfectly. Okay, so when we hear Chief Apostle Eric say, and we keep one another in remembrance of the saying about keeping our vessels full of faith, the reason why we do this is to keep one another in remembrance of our responsibility of that preparation, the preparation of our priesthood, so that we can discern the day of our visitation, that we can have our hearts prepared to receive Christ and to not reject that grace in that moment when God is testing our faith. This is why consistency, conformity, and communication is so important, and why the emphasis is made upon this. It's so that we can remain mindful of what the Lord has called us to, and that we can grow in his grace and in the knowledge of his Son. Another reflection that I had is that when we keep our vessels full of faith, we are prepared to receive the gift of increase when the angel of the Lord comes to visit us. And in so doing, being able to receive that gift, the angel does not have to return to the Lord and give God back his gift. What also came to my mind was, because when God assigns Satan to resist our faith, he also assigns the angel of righteousness to reward us when we choose faith. So, in closing, I'm just going to leave you with the following word that I received from the Lord this afternoon while preparing for tonight's teaching. The Lord says, "Strengthen thy heart in the labor of your priesthood to avenge righteousness in the hour of your trial. For the hour of your temptation is but only for a season, whereas the day of your visitation carries the weight of eternal glory."
Thank you for joining me today. Again, this is Apostle Bronwyn. If you'd like to learn more about God's restored government or how to transition into covenant, please reach out to me on our website at www.saw.org.